The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. May the peace of the one true God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us this evening and all ways, be with you this evening. Amen. When I was a kid, something about Ash Wednesday also always felt a little funny. There's something funny about reading this gospel text and all of these admonitions about don't practice these practices in public so that others might see you, and then getting marked with a big black cross on your forehead and going out with a bunch of other teenagers to Perkins or Denny's, right? Do not do this in public. Hey, guys, look at me. I got my little cross, and I'm ready to roll. Ash Wednesday is a complicated day, a day where we gather together to acknowledge our own sinfulness, to acknowledge our own brokenness, to restore our trust in God by also facing our own mortality, our own impermanence. From dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Jesus has a lot to say in our text this evening about how to properly do things. Pray in this way. Give alms in this way. Fast in this way. We read this text, of course, because as we enter into the season of Lent, we enter into a season of praying, fasting, and almsgiving. We enter into a season where we shift our priorities just a little bit for 40 days. In our culture, we prize great showings of power. We have a lot of esteem for those who stand firm and loud and strong. Those who stake a real claim to their own success and their own power and their own might and strength. When we read this text, we begin to recognize, oh, well, maybe it's not just a USA kind of thing, right? Maybe it's not just a 20th, 21st century kind of thing. Maybe this is a real human thing. This tendency to get swept up in the showings of great power and strength. The showings of a devoted soul. When I was a kid, going out to Perkins with the little cross on my shoulder, my forehead, I had a friend. We'll call him Tom. And my friend Tom, we'd known each other since we were little. First grade, I think we met for the first time. And we went through elementary and middle school together, found ourselves in high school, and, as it would happen, at the same church going through confirmation together. Now, this friend, Tom, was a big kid, usually bigger than the other kids. I was one of those too, but I was kind of scrawny, you know. But he was a little husky, big guy. And he had a way of walking around and talking big, you know, exerting this strut. I'm smarter, I'm stronger, I'm cooler than you. So, deal with it, right? And as he would strut around and show himself off in this way, puff himself up in this way, it didn't take long for other kids to recognize that if you poked in just the right soft spot, he would pop. And when he would pop, Tom would respond quickly, strongly, and violently. We were on a confirmation retreat, an overnight getaway to a park, a camp. And I don't remember what was said, but another kid said something, and it got the rest of us laughing. Well, all of us except for Tom, right? Tom turned swiftly and bam, punched the other kid right in the face. Tears were shed, certainly on the one kid's foot. The shock rippled through the room, though those of us who knew him knew it was coming. I hesitate to call Tom a bully, but there was some bully-like aspects to the way he carried himself through the world. And certainly his response to this smart aleck remark was offsides. And so the leaders of the retreat, the pastor and other adult chaperones who were there, determined he had broken the rules in significant enough of a way that he needed to go home, and he couldn't stay for the rest of the retreat. This didn't surprise any of us. It certainly didn't surprise those of us who'd known Tom as long as I had. But I walked across the parking lot towards the building where the dorm where we were staying. And on the one side, I saw the smart aleck, right? Black eye, holding an ice pack to his face. And on the other side, I saw Tom. And there Tom sat in his chair, his arms crossed tightly, slumped down, his face as bright red as your t-shirt, Nicole, just red. And I could tell by looking at him that red was not anger. That red was not pride. I could see the tears he was holding back. That red was the stifling of some deep sorrow that even now I'm not sure I can understand. There is something to be said about those who walk around this world puffed up and claiming something larger than themselves. There's something to be said about what is happening underneath all of that braggadocio, all of that machismo. There seems to me to be something underneath, a lack. When we read these words from Jesus, these instructions to his followers on just how to practice their faith, how to pray, how to give alms, how to fast, there's a recognition on Jesus' part that his followers, these people, and all of us have a tendency to fall prey to praise, to fall prey to attention, to rely a little too much on what others think of us. Now, my friend Tom needed to be seen as a strong man, a big man, a serious, talented, smart, cool man. And if that was the way people saw him, then that was all he needed. But as we all know, that's a slippery, slippery thing to gain a hold on. So when inevitably the air got let out of it, Tom responded as only anyone can when their foundation has been swept out from under them. We are prone to wanting to be praised, to wanting to be seen as somebody who is the best version of who we are. And Jesus knows this and reminds us then, okay, then if you're going to practice these practices of a life of faith, if you are going to live a life devoted to your God, if you are going to trust in the love and worth God imbues you with, then you better watch out for the allure of that false praise and attention. When we come into this room on this night, Ash Wednesday, when we receive that marking of the cross, the same mark we received in water at our baptism, when we receive that mark in ash of the cross on our foreheads, we are reminded not only that we will die, not only that someday we too will be dust, but that we began as dust. And out of that dust, God called us into being, breathed life into us, that God imbued us with meaning, with worth, and asks us only of our trust. I want you to do me a favor and take your Bible out. There should be a Bible in front of you in the pew. And I want you to find Matthew 6. If you've noticed in our gospel passage this evening, we read Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6, and then we skip a bunch and go to 16 through 21. And it makes sense, because all of the things we're talking about in these passages make sense. If you're going to pray, pray like this. If you're going to give, give like this. If you're going to fast, fast like this. And if you're going to forgive, forgive like this. Jesus offers these, as I have said, knowing that we are prone to trust in things other than God. For our own sense of worth, for our own sense of value. But what are these missing verses that we're skipping over this week? This Ash Wednesday, every Ash Wednesday. Does anybody recognize those verses between 7 and 15? The Lord's Prayer, that's right. The Lord's Prayer, an expression of our trust in God. In the midst of all of these examples and reminders of our hesitancy to trust in God, our hesitancy to know just what is the right way to pray and give and fast and forgive, Jesus offers us this prayer, reminding us where our daily bread comes from. Reminding us where our forgiveness comes from. Reminding us where our value, our worth comes from. We are driven to boast a little. We are at our worst driven to proclaim ourselves something more than we are. We are at our worst prone to wanting to put our names in big gold letters on everything we claim as ours to prove our success, our strength, our power. But tonight, we hear these words. We'll pray that prayer. And will receive the mark of that one whose power is true, whose worth is true, the one who did for us that which we are called to do for one another, the cross of Christ, the marking in ash of our own smallness in the bigness of God. So as we hear those words and receive that mark, as we pray that prayer, let us remember our name. Not Shirley, not Jean, not Rory, not Pear, but beloved child of God, because that is what we are. That is what we have always been. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing to be. Amen.